This week, we will read the double parashios of Matos Masai. I would like to focus specifically on a topic from Parashas Masai, the last parasha in the book of Bamidbar, in recounting the travels and the journeys and all the stops of the children of Israel. We go to Perak Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. The Pasuk tells us, Vayisu miKadesh, and they journeyed from Kadesh, Vayachnu Behor Hahar, they camped at Hor Hahar, Bektsei Eretz Edom, at the edge of the land of Edom, Vayal Aaron HaKoin El Hor Hahar, Aaron the Kohen went up to Hor Hahar, Al Pi Hashem, by the command of God, Vayamasham, and he died there, Bishnas Ha'arba'im, let's say, Spnei Israel Me'eretz Yitzrayim, in the 40th year from when the children of Israel had left Egypt, B'chodesh HaChamishi Be'echad HaChodesh, on the fifth month, on the first of the month, V'Aaron Ben Shalosh Ve'esrim U'me'at Shana B'mosa B'har HaHar. Aaron was 123 years old at the death of Hor HaHar. Only Rashi to these three psukim is Rashi to Pasuk Lamed Ches, Al Pi Hashem, he died by the word of God, Melamit Shemes B'neshika. Rashi tells us this teaches us that he died through the divine kiss of death, so to speak, a very seamless, peaceful Kadosh death. The incident that is listed here, of course, refers to the topic that is listed for us in Parshas Chukas, Parak Chof, when Aaron HaKohen dies. It is absolutely fascinating to consider that the only Yahrzeit listed in the Torah is that of Aaron HaKohen. We already know that nothing in the Torah is an accident. Every word, every letter, every topic, every pasuk has great significance. It is of extremely important significance that the Ribbono Shel Olam recorded for posterity the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen in the Torah Shebichtav when no other yahrzeits are listed. And what does it say? He died there in the 40th year from when the children of Israel left Egypt. B'chodesh hachamishi b'achad achodesh. So the Torah counts the months from Nisan. So the fifth month is of. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, of being the fifth month. He died on the first of Av. It is, of course, not an accident that Aaron HaKohen died on the first of Av, being the day that we usher in the mournful 9 days, this most calamitous period in the Jewish calendar, Mishnichnas Av Mima'atin B'Simcha, when we mourn for the Chet HaMeraglim, the reduction of Eretz Yisrael, and ultimately Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. What is it about Aaron specifically that the Torah lists his Yahrzeit, that he died on the first of Av, almost to be a tikkun, an inspiration, a rectification, a repair, to teach us something about how to turn around the process of Churban and ultimately have Binyan instead? What does Aaron teach us about getting out of Galus and effecting Geula, redemption? What does Aaron teach us if the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, as per the Gemara, Numa Tes Amid Beis, because of Sinis Chinim Shahaisa Bo? What does Aaron HaKohen teach us, whose Yurtzai falls on the first of the 9 days? Perhaps we can learn lessons from his life and effect redemption. I quote from the great Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Zichrono Levracha, in the Sefer Drashot Lido, wrote on this Sedra. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb made these remarks in 1960. I always find it fascinating that the drashos in the Sefer give the date, because it's really in modern times, but clearly 1960 is modern times. But on the other hand, it is quite a significantly long time ago, being over 60 years ago. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says, the death of Aaron, recorded in this morning's Sidra, which is, of course, Parshas Masai, is described in stirring and dramatic detail in the Medrash. The sages tell us the people mourned for Aaron even more than they mourned for Moshe, because Aaron was a man who loved peace and Aaron pursued peace. It was an eternal tribute to the first Kohen Gadol of Israel that Hillel in the Mishnah teaches us to be the disciples of Aaron. Hillel tells us in Pirkei Avos, Perek Av, Mishnah Yod Beis, Heve mi talmidav shal Aaron. You should learn from Aaron and be of the students of Aaron. What does that mean? Ohev shalom, you shall love peace. Rodef shalom, you shall pursue peace. Ohev esabrios, you shall love creation, umakarv on the Torah, and bring them closer to Torah. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, what does it mean to be an ohev shalom? Aaron was an ohev shalom. To be the person who is ambitious and opportunistic, to the person who is ambitious and opportunistic, to the person always looking for a new opportunity, peace is a truce. It is a second best to the victory for his own pursuits. That's not really an Ohev Shalom. In order to be a disciple of Aaron, you must not seek peace merely for its utilitarian value, because it serves you a purpose, not merely because it is the best arrangement or the conditions that prevail. You should love Ohev Shalom, love peace, because peace is the normal, most desirable state of the world. One of God's names, the Gemara tells us, is Shalom. If you see the Gemara, Masechah Shabbos Yud, we are told that one of the names of God is Shalom. Shalom is a positive virtue in its own right. It is not merely the absence of strife. It is its own existence. One must not only hate war, one must actually love peace, because peace is harmony that leads to perfection, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. And the root word for harmony, peace, and perfection are the same. Shalem, Shin Lam, and Mem means both Shalom and perfection. Furthermore, on was a Rodev Shalom, continues Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. If you are a Rodev Shalom, a chaser, a pursuer of peace, you are not merely satisfied with peace, but you actively engage to seek it out. Aaron was a pursuer of peace. The rabbis teach us in Avos Rabbi Nasan Yud Beis, Aaron would first go to one side of the quarrel and then to the other side of the quarrel. And he would tell each quarreling party how the other has such regret over the hatred between them. As a result of his active efforts in going to seek peace between both sides, peace would reign. And then Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam gives a beautiful chiddush, a different way of understanding Rodev Shalom, which is also very important in life. And he says this is a Hasidic teaching. Peace, he says, is a virtue only when it unites decent people with each other. But peace amongst people of evil design can only lead to greater harm in the world. One must rodef shalom. Sometimes you have to actually chase peace away when it concerns corrupt and malicious people. And this has shown time and again in history to be proven true. If we attempt to seek peace with Rasha'im, with wicked, with the enemy, it is just a facade, it is a fallacy. In that case, peace will not be brought about, and more harm will occur than the other way. And there are many times in our history, in our recent day and age, different times on the White House lawn, different Nobel Peace Prizes, that were allusions simply to a mirage of peace. When you try and seek peace with a Russia, it is not positive. And so Rodev Shalom, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, to quote a Hasidic master who he does not name, means sometimes you have to actually chase away peace, because peace is a virtue when it unites decent people with each other. Along this line, I heard an interesting gematria. I think it was from Rabbi Zev Lef, but I don't recall exactly, but I did not make it up. I'm sourcing the source that I heard it from. Shalom in gematria is Esav. Shalom, Shin Lamed Vav Mem, 300, Lamed and Vav is 36, Mem is 40, 376, equals Esav in gematria. Again, Sin is 300, Ayin is 70, Vav is 6. Both Shalom and Esav equal 376. Why? Because sometimes a person needs to know how to be a Rodev Shalom. Sometimes you have to chase away peace. Sometimes with an Esav Arasha, peace is impossible. So just like you have to pursue peace between virtuous, righteous people, that's Rodev Shalom on the one hand. On the other hand, sometimes you have to be a Rodev Shalom, you have to chase peace away. Ohe v'sabrio, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. I may love my fellow human being because he's a human. In a deeper sense, it means I love another because I love myself. I might see somebody in myself. However, there is a different kind of Ohev Esabrios. Hillel tells us we must be the disciples of Aaron, who loved Brios, creatures. He loved other people, Aaron, not because he loved himself, but because other people he recognized were also created by God. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, in loving mankind, Aaron loved God. For the love of the created and the creator were intimately bound up with each other in his eyes. And every person that he loved, and every person that he encountered, and every Jew that he came across, Aaron HaKohen realized that this person represented the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, love of the Creator and love of the created were equal in his eyes. And when we love a person because that individual is God's creature, then no differences between us can affect love that already exists. If we have differences with other people, with other Jews, which often do exist. If we recognize that I was created in the image of God and they were created in the image of God, then I will always have Ohe Vesabrios. And finally, Uma Karv on the Torah, he quotes the Netziv, the great Rebbe of Talit Tzvi Yehudim in Berlin. The Netziv used to say, this Mishnah urges us to love not only those who are devout Torah scholars, not only to love Talmidei Chachamim and Bnei Torah, but rather, the Netziv says, we must love especially those who are distant from Torah. The Tana is teaching us, Hillel's teaching us, to love people, bring them close to Torah, which indicates they were originally distant from Torah, and only through our love were they brought close. Concludes Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, by directing our energies towards embodying these noble ideals, we can truly honor the memory of Israel's first high priest, who was mourned by the children of Israel to an even greater extent than Moshe Rabbeinu. And now we understand perhaps why the Yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen is the only one listed in the Chumash for us. When did he die? On Rosh Chodesh Aleph Av. What does Ribbono Shel Olam want? To learn the lessons of Aaron HaKohen. Vayal Aaron HaKohen al Har Har. Al Pi Hashem vayamad sham b'shnat ha-arba'im letzei b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh ha-chamishi b'echad ha-chodesh. God is saying, if you want to rectify the churban and turn it into binyan, if you want to turn around galut and make it ge'ulah, then we must turn over sinat chinam and make it into ahava chinam. And the way to do that is to learn the lessons from the life of Aaron HaKohen. No wonder we read Parshas Maasai once we are in the 3 weeks, as a reminder to go after the loving, peaceful ways of Aaron HaKohen. Thank you so much. I wish you a wonderful day, and Be'ezrat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom. Kol Tov to all.